Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the gift of your holy word to us. And Father, we thank you that we can meet Jesus in your word. And we ask that you open our hearts and minds now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might see more of Jesus in our lives each and every day. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Please stand in honor of God's word. Now, as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to meet to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them aside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When you pass from this earthly life to eternal life, how do you want to be remembered? Have you ever stopped to think about that? There are some who have been rather creative in the way in which they would like to be remembered by the epitaphs that they've placed on their tombstones. Now, these are actual epitaphs. On Ezekiel Pease's, his name is spelled P-E-A-S-E, on his tombstone in Nantucket, Massachusetts, it reads, "Pease is not here, only his pod. He shelled out his peas and went to his God." Ephraim Wise in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, his tombstone reads, "Here lies the body of Ephraim Wise, safely tucked between his two wives. One was Tilly and the other Sue. Both were faithful, loyal, and true. By his request in ground that's hilly, his coffin is set tilted towards Tilly." Jonathan Blake in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, his epitaph reads, "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Anna Hopewell in Ennisburg Falls, Vermont, her epitaph reads, "Here lies the body of our Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but the skin of the thing that made her go." Well, in today's scripture passage, we will see how a very special lady named Tabitha was remembered. In this passage of scripture today, we can see that Peter is being used of the Lord in performing miraculous healings. The biblical timeline of this story is about 6 years after Jesus' resurrection. First in Lydda, there is Aeneas, who is a paralytic that has been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter says to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So some hear that Peter is in Lydda, which is close to Joppa, about 3 hours away on foot. Joppa was a seaport town situated on the Mediterranean in the tribe of Dan, about 30 miles south of Caesarea and 45 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It was the principal seaport of Palestine. It was occupied by Solomon to receive the timber brought in for the building of the temple. The present name of the town is Jaffa. It is situated on a jutting out into the sea, rising to about 125 feet above sea level, and offering on all sides of it this very picturesque view of the Mediterranean Sea. Well, they send for Peter to come to this particular town because a very special lady has died. Her name is Tabitha, or in the Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her name literally means the gazelle or antelope. Now, that doesn't sound very appealing to be named after an animal. However, that wasn't all that unusual in the East to give the names of beautiful animals to young women. The comparison of fine eyes to those of the antelope is seen in the writings of some Arabic and Persian poets. Well, this lady in scripture, named Tabitha or Dorcas, was obviously very beautiful. Tabitha was sick, and she dies. And so they call for Peter to come at once. And he goes with these two men to Joppa. Tabitha's body was already washed, which was usually done by the immediate family. There was no Ferguson funeral home in Joppa. It was the responsibility of the family to take care of the body. And her body was taken upstairs into a room. So when they arrive with Peter, they take him upstairs. And all the widows are standing around mourning and crying. Actually, there were individuals that were hired in biblical times to actually be professional mourners, to cry and to wail when there was the death of someone that took place. Peter sends them all out of the room. He gets down on his knees and prays. And turning to her, he gives a command, "Tabitha, get up." And she opens her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sits up. Peter takes her by the hand, helps her to her feet. Then he calls for the believers, especially those widows that were present, to come and to see her alive. Scripture tells us that this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Well, obviously. I mean, just think about it. If you went over to Ferguson's and somebody sat up in their coffin and jumped out, word would not only be spread to Plain City, but believe me, it would be far and wide all over the Columbus area and beyond. And so it's no question here that certainly word spread. This was a woman that was dead, and she is risen from the dead. Well, besides the miraculous healings the Lord provides on these two individuals through Peter, there is something else that is worthy to notice in this passage. And it's about this woman named Tabitha. A few sentences in this passage speaks volumes of her. Most importantly, she is described as a disciple. Secondly, she is described as always doing good and helping the poor. The widows, perhaps even some that she had helped who are there, they show Peter the clothing, the robes, all these things that she had made. Maybe some of them were in need. And they were actually wearing what she had made. As Tabitha was lying there dead, the widows are mourning, and they're remembering. They're remembering what this woman did for them. And it makes us stop to think for a moment. How do you want to be remembered? When your life is complete, what do you want others to say about you? Have you ever stopped to think about that? I mean, seriously, think about that. How do you want to be remembered? What would you want me to say at your funeral? Because, you know, one day we're all going to be there. It's inevitable. One day we all will die. And what do you want to be remembered for? Most importantly, for Tabitha, it was that she was a disciple of Jesus Christ. She was not just a fan of Jesus. You know, we did a Bible study, the women and the men's Bible study, on not a fan. And, you know, there's a difference between being a fan of Jesus and actually being a committed, disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Tabitha was a committed, dedicated, disciplined follower of Jesus. And because of her faith in Jesus, she experienced his resurrection power in her life as she was raised from the dead right there. Because of her faith in Jesus, she also knew the Lord in a deep way, and it allowed her to have his love poured out of her. She made a difference in Joppa. She had the gift of being a seamstress, and she used that gift for the glory of God as she helped those in need. James 2, 14 to 18 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well-fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" So how do we want to be remembered? First and foremost, may we all want to be remembered as being a disciple of Jesus Christ, knowing that we have been bought with the price of his shed blood on the cross, and that we have been redeemed. All of our sins have been forgiven, our past sins, our current sins, those sins that we will commit in the future, all have been wiped clean. And we can begin eternal life as soon as we say yes to Jesus Christ in our life. Eternal life has already begun. Death is just the passageway into eternal life. But when we say yes to Jesus, we already have eternal life here and now. And one day we'll share in the joy of heaven through his resurrection power. He too will call forth our name and tell us to rise up and take us by the hand, as Peter took Tabitha by the hand, and welcome us into his heavenly home. That is one of the most important things we all should long to be remembered for, is that we are a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, may the relationship with Jesus that we have prove us to be remembered as a committed, dedicated follower in all the areas of our lives. Fred Craddock, who taught at Candler School of Theology, once said, "To give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory." We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking $1,000 and laying it on the table. "Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all." But the reality, he said, for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor kid's troubles without saying get lost. Going to a committee meeting. Giving a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life for Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's hard to live the Christian life, little by little, over the long haul. But that is what true discipleship and commitment really are. Each day, committing it to the Lord and seeking what he desires for us to do. And oftentimes, it is in the very little things of life that sometimes we think go unnoticed. Sometimes, even so small as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. B. Salazar in 1990 had undergone back surgery and was on disability. She says, I was depressed, just trying to get through each day. One afternoon when I was putting out the trash, I saw a little boy digging in a dumpster for food. I took him inside, made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and sent him home. 15 minutes later, there was a knock at my door, and I opened it to find six more kids standing there. Is it true that you're giving away peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? One of them asked. She says, I couldn't believe that there was no one caring for these kids. It was summer and school was out. They told me that their parents had to work. The next day, more children showed up and more arrived the day after that. When school began again, kids came and asked for help with homework. Volunteers and supplies from local churches and schools poured in. My landlord donated an apartment, and soon I had 100 children coming to visit each day. 10 years later, 5 of those kids have begun community college. I never thought that making one peanut butter and jelly sandwich would grow into something that would affect so many lives, especially mine. Those kids pulled me out of myself. There was a point when I stopped thinking about my own pain and started concentrating on somebody else's. It's true that when you help others, you can help yourself. Today is Mother's Day. And as we have reflected upon this great biblical woman named Tabitha, perhaps you and I can certainly remember the many ways in which our own mothers did those little sacrificial things day in and day out as they served us, oftentimes that we took for granted. I remember my own mother who has gone on to be with the Lord, and I remember she was one of the most giving people I probably have ever come across in my life. She would literally have given you the shirt off her back, and especially for those in need. I remember we worked in a restaurant, and my mother worked there, and there was a lady named Pat that worked there, and Pat was pretty poor. I remember my mother going through my clothes. She was a tiny lady, I want to say. And she was going through my clothes, getting my clothes. What don't you want anymore? We'll give it to Pat. I remember seeing Pat wearing some of my summer outfits. You know, that made such an impression upon me. I didn't realize it at the time. But when I look back over the years, and remember all that my mother gave away. I mean, she could not come back to her apartment without bringing baked goods for the neighbor next door. It was constant. She gave and gave and gave. And there was no inheritance when she died, believe me. None at all. And you know what? I have a far richer inheritance than any bank account could ever give me. Because she gave. She gave it while she was living. She gave, and she didn't have much, but it didn't matter. She could give somebody something, she would give it. I think of my Aunt Helen. You know, my cousin Tommy has preached here on numerous occasions. And his mother, my mother's sister, was probably the most hospitable person I had ever known. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize these things. She had us at her house, all of our relatives, not just a couple, but all of our relatives, every single holiday. And every weekend we would go there to go, because my grandmother, she took care of my grandmother and my grandfather. They lived with her. So all of us would be there every weekend and every holiday. And she even took other people into her house that didn't have a place to stay. And, you know, when you're a kid, you just know we're going to Aunt Helen and Uncle Dave's house for, you know, dinner for Easter or for Christmas or whatever. You just don't even think of, I just think about all she had to clean. Oh, having all of us there and all the setup and all of that. You know, it's looking at those people in our lives. And I think of many, many church people and friends and neighbors and people that did things that we often do not take notice of as we're growing up. And boy, what a difference those little things make in the long run of life. But the question for all of us this morning is how each and every one of us want to be remembered. Would people be able to say of us, he or she was certainly a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I saw it every day in their life because they lived for Jesus and everything they did. Their life was a reflection of Jesus, even in the very smallest of ways. Isn't that how you want to be remembered? Much like Tabitha. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for this wonderful story of Tabitha. We thank you, Lord, that you have put into the scriptures those stories that really touch our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this woman who was a disciple of yours that knew the resurrection power of Jesus because she believed in you. And Lord, we thank you that her life just overflowed with goodness and kindness to help people in need. And Lord, what a way to be remembered. As those women gathered around and mourned her, they remembered all of that. Help us, Lord, to live our lives every day that people will say of us, wow, he or she is a disciple of Jesus. And I can see it in the many, many ways, even in the tiniest little things that he or she does. They are such a reflection of Jesus. May we seek, Lord, to live that day for every day for your glory. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.